The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Extreme weight loss participants challenge others to take the first step of a journey to a new life.
And I'm sure there are people out there now that feel like I'm not living the life that I thought I was supposed to, or that I know God intended for me to live. And I would just tell them to don't listen to the voice in your head that says you're not good enough to change, that you're not worthy of changing, that you're not, you don't deserve to have better. Take a step and God's going to meet you there. You know, take a step.
Next on Life Today.
So much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And you know, I always listen to see if she's actually going to go ahead and, you know, greet everyone. But she's got a bad cough, and she's just, you know, I was watching. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
She said, I may not ask
you
many questions.
You see my eyes start watering. I'm holding
and
a cough.
And we could
back.
Have a cough, not a coffee break, but a cough break. You'll understand that. You know, I don't know many people or churches that I have any higher regard for and appreciation of than I do Church on the Move in Tulsa and Pastor Willie George. Now, Willie is a friend. He's a brother in Christ. He's a co-laborer. But he's also a son in ministry, of our ministry, because Willie found Christ when I was preaching, when he was kind of a football playing, what he called himself, bootlegger for the football team. He really needed the Lord, and boy, did he meet God. And he has been so grateful that he not only praises God, but he expresses thanks for the fact that I showed up at his school and that I preached Jesus with compassion and boldness, he calls it. Well, his church is wonderful. It's where our youngest daughter was a leader and where our grandchildren, Robin's children, have been wonderfully blessed, and I think a blessing, and where Ken Turner is one of Willie's closest friends and a trustee. Well, we got a great guest. It's actually staff. We've got Scott and Georgiana Johnson, and I'm looking down because Georgiana's name is quite lengthy. I wondered if in the family there was a George and an Anna.
Not at all,
she said. I wanted to be sure I got it right. But George and Scott are actually on staff there. But
it's
Scott. There was a George in your family. This is big.
And it's determined that there was.
Georgiana and Scott are actually on staff there. But there's an incredible miracle that really occurred for both of them. And it had a whole lot to do with what happened when she was actually on
extreme weight loss.
Mm-hmm. But you were a big loser.
I was a big loser.
Would
yeah.
you welcome George Allen Scott? Would you do that? You know, I met you, you know, kind of personally when you picked us up and
you took us home.
And, mm-hmm. and it's so interesting that after we got out, we just prayed.
Uh-huh.
And actually, because you are the sweetest couple
Thank you.
So nice, but we were impressed to pray that mm-hmm. we felt like you had a battle with your weight.
I did. It was obvious. Yeah.
But it wasn't like it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, really prayed for it. Tell your story. What has happened? Because you are kind of a new person in a lot of ways.
I am in a lot of ways, more than just physically. I got married young. I actually got pregnant in college. Scott and I married, and we had our oldest daughter, Chelsea, back in 1990. And I think life changed very quickly, and I think I thought I'd let people down because I had gotten pregnant and left college to raise a child instead. And
you did get married, though, right?
We got married. We've been married for almost 24 years.
Is he the culprit over here? But the point is that you knew you needed to be together. In other words, was this just the situation where you said, okay, she's pregnant now and I got a duty, or did you feel like you really loved one another?
No, well, we did. We had a conversation then that we didn't want to. We were only getting married because we knew that we loved each other and wanted to get married anyway.
Yeah.
We felt very strongly convicted about being married and raising a child together and being a family, and it obviously worked for us. strong believers that it's how you finish and not how you start. So we didn't have the greatest start in our marriage.
And you felt bad about it?
And I did. I think I felt bad about it. And we were, you know, poor, young, coming out of college students, and we didn't eat great. You know, I bought cheap groceries, and I was staying home with Chelsea, and I had moved to his hometown, and I just didn't have a lot of getting out and about, and gained weight pretty quickly then, and continued to gain weight through the years with my kids, as so many moms do. I think so many women have related because they know they put everybody else first. You know, you put your family first, you put your children, what they need, your husband, your household, your church, your volunteering, whatever it is, you tend to make sure all of that's taken care of, and somehow mom gets on the back burner. And that's definitely what happened with me. I got to the point when I was chosen for the show, I weighed 315 pounds. I know, gasps, and it's true. That was last May, about a year and a half ago. I weighed 315. And was very down on myself. I'd spent years beating myself up for thinking, why can you be successful in marriage? You have raised great kids. You're at this great church. You're on staff. It's such a wonderful place. It's so supportive. Why can't you figure this out? What is wrong with you?
Did you feel condemned? Did you feel like, what was feeding this, let's say, this tendency to not control weight or to actually be hurting yourself?
I didn't feel condemned by others. I think I thought they thought things about me. It was definitely within myself that, you know, I had a lot of negative chatter in my mind about, you know, you're not good enough, your husband's a pastor, people go to him or are counseled by him on how to live fulfilling lives and how to correct problems in their lives spiritually and otherwise. And I felt like I was kind of a walking advertisement that something was wrong with me. You know, there are things in your life, if you're dealing with, you know, drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is, people don't see that on you. You can walk around and keep that hidden, but your weight is, you know, 315 pounds doesn't hide. I mean, obviously you were aware just meeting me that I was dealing with my weight. And so
I was concerned just for your health. I was concerned I could tell you were a precious couple. And I did not want you to hurt your future. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you love your kids. Pastor Scott, where were you watching all this?
You know, I think it was, we had had very few conversations specifically about her weight, just because as a husband, it's a difficult conversation to have.
And you don't want to put a heavier weight on her.
Exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the producers of the show asked her this question about me being a pastor and how I helped so many other people, why I hadn't jumped in and helped her.
Yeah.
Did I leave and love her? Which, quite frankly, angered me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it really made me take stock of what is my role in this? I'm not her pastor, I'm her husband. So, you know, I think the main thing for me was I had to make her feel that she could trust that whatever she decided to do about it, I was going to be fully on board with helping her. And I think that was the key. As a husband, that was my role, to love my wife, as the Bible tells me to do, to give myself up for her, as Christ gave himself up for the church. And I think that's really what the step was that I was to take. Fortunately for me, I needed it. I didn't realize I needed it. I went in it to help her, but really help myself in the process.
He lost 55 pounds this year, too, just in support of me. When I left for boot camp, I was gone for the first 3 months of the journey, you know, the year. And he would call me and say, you know, what are you eating? How are you guys eating there? What do I need to be buying here? And how much are you working out? What are you doing? And so he started applying those things at home, which was a huge support for me. You know, God doesn't intend for us to walk alone through this life. I mean, we need support and need people around us. And
now, did you lose weight because you were really trying to step in with her, or she just wasn't there fixing all the stuff for you?
That's a good question.
Probably.
Quite honestly. I don't know about this victory, Pastor.
Yeah. Quite honestly, if this hadn't gone down, I would imagine I would have eaten out every single meal while she was gone. So I probably could have gained about 50 more while she was gone.
Thankfully, our daughters were big helps. They all kind of rallied around, you know, the situation with me being gone. He hates to grocery shop, so Francie did a lot of the grocery shopping, and They got in their routine.
Don't we wish everybody would take every challenge like this, as everybody's in it together, not to tell you how awful you are and you ought to fix this, but when you're trying to address something that's just a concern, it may not even concern the rest of the family.
Yeah.
But if it concerns you, then it should concern the rest of the family, and they get involved. And this is really what the church must do. We don't put condemnation on people in a battle. We want to really lighten their load. After all, Jesus said, if you let me get in the yoke with you, whatever that is, that load, I will actually not only lighten it, it will become so light. My burden is easy. I got it. And really, this is the way he was helping you.
Absolutely.
Honey, what were you about to say?
So you knew he was also trying to eat right while you were gone?
Yeah. I was not allowed to Skype or FaceTime or show photos, so he didn't see me for 3 months, the first 3 months I was gone, but he was sending, you know, he could send me pictures here and there, and so I knew. But I had like kind of a big 90-day reveal when I got home, and I felt like it was as much me being surprised at how he looks as it was just for me on showing up and him seeing me again.
Let me tell you what I would like us to do right here, because I want to say to you, really proud of you. My son-in-law called me, I don't know, months and months ago, and told me what a remarkable change in both of you, just in even the, let's say, the impact of your witness in your life, and probably the whole journey together was as big as the weight loss. It was you related to it, and so to the audience. And this is the thing I wish I could say. A lot of times, if you're battling something, the last thing you want somebody to do is look into your eyes or look into your heart. You know, intimacy, intimacy, real love does see and discern, but what kind of love is seeing? Is this cruel, judgmental, typical religious, condemning spirit? Oh my, no, God delivers from that. But here's the thing I want you to hear. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you struggle with. God's bigger. We care. Others care. Now you may have found just the opposite. You may have even found just the opposite in church. But I want to say to you, every one of you watching, whatever load you carry, he wants to lighten it, and he really wants to get in the yoke with you. And he wants that to become light. And he wants it to become so light that you're able to help others with whatever load they're carrying to let them know that you will walk it out with them. See, the whole world is looking for that. It's really what we should find in marriage with our spouses, but it's not what we find very often. So we need to begin to set a whole new example. Here's what I want to know. What do you say to people to help them maybe take the step you took? Because, see, you were feeling bad about having gotten pregnant. You just found all kind of reasons for having whatever it was you had. Mm-hmm. You were loading yourself up more than even others were. But what do you want to say to people that would say, I might help you get started?
I would say start somewhere. You know, God wants you to live the life that he intended for you to live. And I wasn't. I didn't feel like me. I spent years feeling like I was in a stranger's body. And I'm sure there are people out there now that feel like I'm not living the life that I thought I was supposed to, or that I know God intended for me to live. And I would just tell them to take steps towards it. You can't sit there for another year. Time is going to go by whether you change or not. You know, God has a plan for you, and you have to make it happen. You can't just sit back and pray and think, poor me, why is it not working? Take a step, and God's going to meet you there. You know, take a step, and he's going to give you the power to keep moving. I beat myself up for years, and during boot camp, I had a moment where I was praying, and I thought, you know, Lord, the Bible says that you speak to us in a still, small voice. And all of this time, I've been letting this resounding voice of, you can't do it, you're going to fail, be the voice that I listen to. And so I would tell them, too, don't listen to those voices that tell you you can't. Don't listen to the voice in your head that says you're not good enough to change, that you're not worthy of changing, that you don't deserve to have better. Listen to God's word that says, you know, you're an overcomer, that I want you to have above and beyond the things that, you know, can think or ask, you know, to live the life that God intended for you to live, victorious and not, you know, beat down and carried and burdened by the problems that you have.
And if you don't have a Scott to support you, I really wish you could hear this. He's father to the fatherless. He's a husband of those who've lost their spouse. Mm-hmm. He is bride to those who feel like, you know, I've lost mine as a man. I mean, he really is so big. But isn't it nice when he comes in the form of a person? Mm-hmm. Scott, your countenance is an encourager. Your very countenance when she's sharing says volumes. It says, I love her. I'm with her. I'm for her. I won't ever stop lifting her up. And that speaks volumes. But what would you say to our viewers? And, honey, you were about to say something. I don't want you to forget that either. If you forgot it, you did.
It's okay.
We need marriage counseling. Scott,
right here.
Tell us what was it that you wanted, but might want to add to what she was saying there to our viewers.
I would just say that, you know, her issue was outward. So many of us have things that are hidden inward, things that we're hiding from whomever, from everyone, even from ourselves in some ways. One of the big moments for her and one of the big moments for us really was the night that she weighed in front of all of our friends
I
and
kept it hidden.
Family.
I didn't know what I weighed.
I had no idea what she weighed. It was a hidden number. I had never asked. She had never shown me. Matter of fact, she went to great efforts to keep me from seeing that number.
And probably not know herself.
She didn't for a long time. You're right.
Mm-hmm. But there was a time where she had to do that on the show. You see it where she's, that's a real moment where she's standing in front of friends and family and having to show everybody that number. And I would say honesty is first. And even if you don't have someone, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always there. He's the one He's already paid the price. And the confession's not for Him. The confession's for us. We need to let that go. He said, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for us. We have to let that go so that we can begin this work that she had to do in taking those steps to rid ourselves of those weights, literally weights, spiritual weights,
or
physical weights.
Both. Mm-hmm. I want to pray for you. Would you like to say thanks, though, to Scott and Georgiana and to Church on the Move and Pastor Willie George? Just thanks to all of you for being such a wonderful shepherd and great flock. I want to pray for you. Father, I know there are many right now who may even feel like I'm the only one with this particular challenge, but they're not, nor are they alone. I want you, Father, to let them sense your Spirit like a hand on their shoulder, an arm around them, a shoulder to lean on. And let them know that you will walk through this battle with them and that you will actually, in answer to our prayer supernaturally, give them someone else to help them walk it out. It may be that someone else with the same challenge will actually join with them and the two walk together, both of them to become victorious. Lord, I ask you to please set people free from the weight and the weights of any bondage. In Jesus' name. If you want someone to pray with you, you call the number. Say, just agree with me about something, a particular heartache or need. Don't hesitate to do it. Please, you know, you could have got him, but wonder if maybe you and I praying for them the night they picked us up and took us to our destination. Mm-hmm. And our heart just went out. You know, I've many times prayed for people just walking by. And God was just like whispering, I heard that. I heard that. He does, and He notices when we notice. Reach out. If you want someone to pray with you, please do. I want to give you an opportunity to be an answer to someone's prayer. Many, many times people ask me, how do you get your prayers answered? And I've answered, I think, one of the best answers you'll ever hear. Seek to be an answer to prayer. Watch how quickly your prayers get answered. Check that out in Isaiah 58. I want you to watch. I want you to listen to a heart cry. I want you to listen to a need. I promise you, this is a need you can meet. This is the load you can lift. You really can. Watch.
As a widow, suffering isn't something I've escaped in life. Oh, there was a day I might have gone to some lengths to avoid it, but I now know that part of my purpose is to do what I can to breathe hope into those who are suffering. But here, Walking through this clinic, it's everywhere I turn in the horrific form of starvation. Part of me wants to run from this scene, but the other to run for help. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. This mother, Shakira, her heart is sick because she's losing hope for her little princess, Luisa, a precious 16-month-old girl so severely malnourished she weighs a mere 7 pounds. My life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. It's breathed life into me countless times. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I think sometimes we forget it applies to these precious children too.
It's so critical for us to respond, to not hesitate, to not think that somebody else is going to take care of this need. You can be the difference today in the life of this family, in the life of hundreds of thousands of families.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you how it is. You know, a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. But I really need you to hear what I'm trying to say in light of what you've seen. Only a miracle, I'm talking about a supernatural miracle, is going to let those babies Tammy was talking about live, and the ones she referenced in particular. They're at a point, Betty, they won't make it 24 hours. It is their little princesses. And the one talking, Tammy, she lost her husband. And she actually had a little tattoo. You know, I'm often wondered about tattoos. I don't have one, won't have one. But she actually put the verse of scripture you heard her quote, that God has a hope and a future for a woman that lost her very young, very athletic swimmer husband. He drowned, of all things. And yet Tammy's there. She's gone all over the world for Jesus and for life outreach because she knows that what we do works. She sees the hope that God has for mothers and children to never end up where those little babies are. And we were still prayerfully and desperately trying to save them. And miracles happen. Boy, they do. Beth Moore saw it. Baby Matthew, boy, did she ever see it. Went back and saw the baby couldn't live through the night. And went back and played soccer with him because he lived. So we're praying for the miracles. But here's the thing. We've got the feeding station set up where we can feed 400,000 children, thousands of them we've just found that are headed on the way to clinics like that where they got a matter of hours or days at most to live. Now, here's the deal. We got to have a tremendous surge of support. But let me tell you what God's done. Betty, this is huge. This is the biggest this is we've ever had for any feeding program. We've been given a $1.5 million challenge. Think about what I'm saying to you. Just kind of zero in on what I just said. $1.5 million. That's the largest challenge. You say, who did that? A group of friends, not one or two, a group, who said, we know the crisis situation is there. We have heard what the missionaries say, and we want to challenge everyone to make the largest gift they can, and it'll be matched, which means if you gave 30 or 50 or 100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months, it would be doubled. To 6, to 10, to 20. If you could give 1,000 instead of feeding only 100, it'd be 200. Father, I pray everyone watching would reach out right now and say, I'm going to be an answer to the heart cry and the prayer. And you direct them in their giving. In Jesus' name, give to bless, knowing it'll be doubled. Whatever you can do. Would you dial that number, take your bank card? Please do it right now. Be an answer to that mother's heart cry, to the children's need, to the missionary's request. Go online, lifetoday.org. Make the gift God puts on your heart. We have some beautiful gifts to send you that will bless you and encourage you and inspire you. It's our way of just saying thank you for blessing others. We love to bless you. Thank you for making that call.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $1.5 million matching gift challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be doubled to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be doubled to help save 10 children. $100 for 10 children will be doubled to help feed 20 children. And $300 for 30 children will be doubled to help feed and minister to 60 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a daily devotional with an inspirational music CD. With your double impact gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Larger Print Reference Bible. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 and request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
I thank you for what God's led you to do. I thank our friends who gave the challenge gift. God bless you. What an answer to prayer. Not just our prayers, missionaries' prayers, but mothers' prayers. We want to send you the beautiful Bible that is large print, the All Things New devotional, the beautiful sculpture, The Blessing. And I want to say thanks to Georgiana and to Scott for being such a blessing to us and sharing their story. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to them? Greetings to Church on the Move in Tulsa.
Absolutely.
If you're in Tulsa and you're looking for a family that loves you and cares, visit them. Church on the Move in Tulsa. Tell our pastor friend, Willie George, James and Betty sent them. Bless you. Thank you.
That calling is nothing more than when your talents and your burdens collide.
Next week, author Rebecca Lyons describes her journey toward a life of meaning. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.